Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Previously on Dungeons & Dragons.
You, your horses, and wagon are sent crashing into a rolling wave of forces as your head hits the ground hard.
I think I wake up Thea first. They see a woman in her late 50s. She would be played by Betty White, like season 6 Golden Girls.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, all right.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. Are you all right?
Who are you?
Oh, my name's Margaret. It seems that you got in the path of the, whatever the hell this thing is I'm trying to track down.
For a while, Margaret, you'd come across tracks, having gone to settlements that have been destroyed before. So you were following some of those tracks, and they disappear, like, just abruptly.
This is the same damn thing, that you can track it for a bit, and then there's just nothing.
The light trail eventually comes to a clearing in the forest. Just as you're getting to the clearing, you see flickering light up ahead of you.
You said shadows. Have you seen figures in the trees or things just outside of your vision that when you turn, they're gone?
No, we don't believe in any such sort of child's stories.
I just want you to know that idea of, well, these are stories we tell our children, things like that don't exist. That's going to get you killed.
You hear screaming, and you see standing amidst the rubble of this tent, close to what you could presume 15-foot tall, gorilla-like creature. It turns and it looks to your group. Its eyes flash a deep, dark red. Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. We're a D&D 5th edition actual play podcast, and I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Morn. With me today is Tom Laird.
Hey, that's me. I play Flint Firebeard.
And Carla Maxted.
That's me. I play... Is it Lex? It is right now. Let's see if it sticks.
And Amy Moore.
I think that's me. I play Thea Anastasia.
And back with us today, a very special guest from the Crit Show. It's Rev.
Hi.
Woo-woo. I'm playing Margaret Broadcloak.
Now, Rev, you play on the Crit Show.
Yes.
You run games and you play games. Tell us a little bit about the Crit Show and what our listeners could expect when they come and just pop in.
Yeah, so the Crit Show is an actual play podcast, of course, and we focus on Monster of the Week and other Powered by the Apocalypse games. In the first season, the hunters discover they have to go to other worlds to kind of get all the things they need. And so our mechanic now is that when they go to a different world, it's a different Powered by the Apocalypse game. And so they get to experience all these different games that exist by all these smaller publishers or independent publishers. And one of the big things we kind of focus on is that in the first 3 or 4 episodes of that game system, we want to make sure you walk away and know how to playing it.
That's awesome.
It's a lot of fun.
I really like that because we don't describe how to play anything.
But it's kind of like a what not to do if you.
That's true.
That's a good. Yeah. It is. We are instructive in a way. Just don't do what we do. Learn how to actually play the game.
So if you feel like you're missing something from Dungeons & Dragons, go
Which
check out the Crit
are.
Show.
Don't leave us entirely, but it's okay to let your eyes wander.
No, but please do, because you put on an amazing show. I haven't listened to all of them yet, because I only recently just met you when we recorded for DM to GM.
Yes.
But yeah, it's amazing. Whole team's fun. I highly suggest going to check it out. Where you can check out some other things is over on Patreon, patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. And when you are a patron, you get an episode dedicated to you. Not can. It's not an op. It's a thing
it's
that happens.
It's non-optional. We will dedicate to you whether you want us to or not.
You know what? And we're going to say it as happy as we can. So today's patron that we are dedicating an episode to is Creighton's _ Raven.
Creighton's Raven. Oh,
thank you, Raven.
That's fun.
That's awesome.
Thank you. And now, fuck it. Let's play D&D.
I thought for sure Amy was going to make a That's So Raven joke, but whatever.
Missed the boat.
Didn't even think of that.
It's too late, and he already said the starting words.
And now it's gone. Post. You are in the middle of a clearing. You have just seen this monstrous, huge beast in front of you. Horned, long-tailed, gorilla-like figure. And Margaret, you see it disappear as you are charged by several hippo-faced apes, pink and gray.
It was red and gray. Red and black is what you said
you
last
said
time.
You said orange and black is what I wrote down in my notes.
Orange and black.
They're multicolored. It's a rainbow of apopotamuses.
They're calico. They're calico hippo-faced monkeys.
The red and gray is the ass of the ape.
Red, gray, black, orange, green, blue. I've got all the colors there now. I can just cut in the ones I need. I'll give you, you're on the edge there. I'll give you three beat. There's running, there's screaming, there's mayhem. The settlement people that you've come across, they don't seem very organized at all. Some of them are screaming and on fire. Some of them are running for their lives. Others are trying to grab nervously their weapons. I'll give you three a beat to kind of arrange yourselves, and then we'll roll for initiative.
I'm curious as to being on the outside of this. When the big creature disappears, do I see anything different being having an outsider's perspective?
We're gonna zoom out.
Oh.
You were busy focusing on army out of your periphery, or the soldiers out of your, whatever you were seeing out of your periphery. As you see this flash and the tents start to go, you see the shoulder of this ape kind of appear out of the tent, like it was inside, and the tent burns around it. You catch the horn coming up over another tent, and a blast of lightning goes as you hear coming from different sides of this clearing the sound of grunts and ape noises.
So they're coming out of the forest.
They're coming out of the forest. And as you see this, you see this burst of lightning go, and almost like it, as it goes, it seemingly to you pulls the creature in the center of this clearing along with it. Like it's being
beamed up?
Like the lightning comes out of what you could presume is its mouth, but then as it kind of dissipates, the beast follows behind it, disapparating as it fizzles.
Is there anything left in the spot where it was?
There's the burning village. You're not close enough to see anything.
Fire, lots of fire, screaming and firing, lots of fire, monkeys.
People on fire.
Okay, sorry. I was going to give the three of you a beat to discuss, arrange, and then we'll roll.
So in the moment before this thing vanishes and I actually get eyes on it, is there anything about it that looks familiar that I understand to try to figure out what it is or might be?
Make a nature check.
17.
You recognize parts of it. Obviously, the hands and the build of it seem very ape-like. The joining of all of these different features of it seems very unnatural to you. Throughout your travels, you would have heard of the Fae, whether you've been there or not. Well, you tell me. Have you ever been to the Fae?
I think that I have dealt with a few, but I don't think I've physically been there.
All right. So you know that in the Fae, from the stories that you've heard, from those that you've interacted with, is that not everything is as it is here in the material plane. Some things are mixed up and unnatural as we would see it. But that's what this in this moment kind of reminds you of, is more of a fey being rather than a being of the material plane. Lex and Flint, you are woken and you come out and you see kind of just the aftermath of this. Now the ape hippos charging towards you. Margaret's floating with her boots. Thea's nowhere to be seen at the moment. What do you do?
You mentioned people were on fire?
I did maybe mention that. Yeah, some it's because the tent where the beast was seen erupted in flames, and the flames are starting to spread. The people who ran from, there were a couple people who ran from who seemingly survived. They're on fire. They're kind of rolling around. Some of them are being padded out. So they're frantically taking care of each other, not necessarily well.
I was going to say, is there anyone that I can, like, wrap a blanket around and stop them from being on fire?
Sure. You run off to someone who's frantically screaming. Their clothing is on fire. You tell me what you do. Do you full body tackle them?
It's not really a full body tackle, but it's in that realm of things. But it's like blanket first. Like a jumping hug, if you will.
I like it. Lex.
I think I am just going to probably pull out my greatsword and get ready to fight these creatures that seem to be attacking. Like, I want to protect these sort of hapless villager people that are...
These dum-dums who've got themselves into a stupid
with their
situation.
You know, their rusty gardening shears or whatever they've got. I don't think that's gonna...
So, charging towards you, you see seven... medium size, so we're going to say like 4 to 5 feet tall ape hippos. And
apos?
Hippos.
Is there something
apopotamuses?
I don't know.
Apopotamuses. Yeah.
I'd appreciate if that could be used.
That's it.
Yeah. And two larger. So they're probably more 6 or 7 feet, very burly, charging towards you. Everybody roll for initiative.
Oh my God.
You have to roll for
another
20. You can.
No.
Yes.
That's a one.
So
I rolled a one.
At least it was wasted on an initiative.
It's true.
Oh, well, it's only a 6. I rolled a 4.
I rolled a 1, Amy.
17.
So proud?
Okay. Also 17.
17. Who has the higher dex modifier?
Surely must be Flint.
Plus 3 for modifier.
Yes.
She's not a spry Betty White type.
No. She wears her age well, but it gets in the joint sometimes.
Well, her hips don't lie.
We didn't really say how big this clearing was, but we'll say it's 60 feet full across, so you're right in the middle, 30 feet. Apes are charging towards you from, mostly from the north, as Margaret would know. a couple smaller ones coming from the south. You kind of do a quick scan. So, how many did I say there were? 6 and 2?
You said there was 7 medium and 2 large.
You know what? I should write this shit down.
You should, because you know Carla's doing it. He was going to go
sorry,
with 6,
you're right.
Carla.
You said there was 5 medium.
Yeah. Seven. They disappeared.
3.
There's poof.
2 tiny ones.
Okay. So 2 medium ones coming from behind, 5 medium and 2 large kind of coming and flanking from the north. And Flint, you're up first.
All right. Are they? How far away are they?
It's 30 feet to the perimeter from the center where you are, so they're within 30 feet.
But are they within 25 feet?
We're going to say that you...
Do you want to walk ahead 5 feet, though?
Well,
we're going to say
I'm
their
tired.
Dwarves don't have super duper movement, so I need to know if they're within 25 feet.
We're going to say they have charged out 5 to 10 feet, depending on which one you're going for. You have run to blanket an individual. Now, the three of you were sleeping, so armor-wise... Where you at?
I feel like Flint's pretty adept at sleeping in his armor.
Yeah, I mean, I was on next watch, so I don't think I would have, like, fully geared down, because I would have been getting up soon.
I'm going to write a note here that Flint is going to start experiencing exhaustion for sleeping in his armor. Not today.
You know how refreshed you'd be had you been sleeping naked like you really wanted to?
Well, Thea won't let me do that anymore.
All right, what do you want to do?
I guess I'll charge forward and hack and slash at these mofos.
Okay, you going for one of the bigger ones or one of the medium-sized ones?
I will go for one of the bigger ones.
All right. So, yeah, like I said, 7 to 8 feet tall, wide across. The bigger ones have long tails that are holding a mushroom.
Weird.
I don't like the look of that mushroom tail, so I'm going to try to stay, like, directly in front of said large hippopotamus ape.
Okay.
Is that what we settled
Apopotamus?
On?
Hippopotamus?
That's what you settled on, yeah.
Hippopotamus ape.
Yep. That's the one.
All right.
I pull out my long sword and I say the magic word of moist.
All right.
And my first attack is a 23.
23 will hit.
All right.
Weird. 23 hits an unarmored monkey.
It's crazy, right?
It's really big.
All right. That is 14 damage.
As it takes your hit, it recoils and then thrusts its belly at you for a 26 to hit.
That'll hit. Does it help that I did cold damage to it?
I mean, it doesn't help specifically.
Okay. You never know with some of these monsters.
Brr. As it belly thrusts you.
You feel its hard nipples on you as it thrusts its chest at you.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And you're going to take 23 bludgeoning damage.
Oh, shit.
And
damn.
You're knocked 5 feet back.
Thea chooses not to join the battle.
You said 23?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Gonna opt out. Thea watches from the sidelines, just like, they got this.
I guess I will attack again.
All right.
That is an 18.
That, too, will hit.
Okay. That is 11 damage.
It takes your hit and then rolls into your attack and bends over and grabs its knees, and its tails lift up, and a plume of noxious gas comes out from its behind.
It farts at him?
Make a constitution saving throw.
Oh, my God.
Rev just can't even right now. What is happening?
Constitution saving throw. All right. I have advantage against poison, by the way.
It's not specifically poison.
Oh, okay.
It's just
well,
yucky.
That is a 22.
Okay, you're fine. It stinks. It's noxious. It's gross.
You retch a little bit.
Yeah.
Perfect. While that tail is out and about, I'm going to...
Do it!
I'm going to slice it off of it with
what
a
I thought you were gonna say.
22 attack on that one.
Okay, yeah, sure. So you're going to slice the tail off.
Yeah, like the little mushroom, yep. And I'm just going to hack that right off.
Do it.
That is 17 damage.
So the tail comes off. Mushroom and tail drop to the ground as it shrieks a hideous grunting holler. Margaret, you are up.
So the people below are panicking. Do I see any of them even in any condition to, like, protect those who are in, like, what's Christo doing? How's he handling this?
Christo was in one of the tents, so he ran out kind of similar time to Flint and Lex and yourself. He is trying to calm some of the people. He was one of the ones to go grab his weapons, but as he sees Flint rush out and you fly up, he kind of is trying to take stock of some of the people that are more panicked.
Okay, so I think I'm going to fly down and land next to Flint and yell to Christo, like, as I go by, like, stay between us and these people. And I'm going to try to hit the one that Flint is fighting.
All right.
So 28.
Oh.
Yes. Yes, that will hit.
That would be 9. And I don't suppose that this thing happens to be a fiend or undead.
It is not, actually.
Fair.
So you've come down and strike down with your mace as this ape is kind of rolling through some of the damage that Flint was dealing, jumps up and tries to belly thrust you. That's going to be a 21 to hit.
Yes.
12 bludgeoning damage, and you are knocked back 5 feet. And you, too, have 3 actions per round. So you can attack 2 more times.
Yeah, so I think I will do that. I'll step forward again and take a swing at it, because this is one of them, and I've seen Flint. I don't know him, but if the stories that he's told me of what they have done are true, and this one is still standing, that's not good news. 15.
15 will hit.
And that will be 7.
Tell me what happens when you kill this first creature.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Every day in the nice little Canadian town of Beaver Mount, Ontario is pretty much the same. Folks are polite. There's a hockey game that evening. And someone gets brutally murdered. Sorry About the Murder, a very Canadian murder mystery podcast. New episodes weekly. Listen to season 1 now by typing Sorry About the Murder into your favorite podcast app.
Ah, ben là!
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Margaret leaps forward again after getting knocked backwards and holds her shield a little higher and hits at the kind of the underside of the belly, where, because it was very hard at the top, and so she thinks, like, oh, if I can get it from below. And it just kind of collapses to the ground out of air. And she slams the shield down on its head.
It deflates and a noxious cloud comes up and out of it. Make a constitution saving throw.
And it's response to what?
To a noxious cloud that came out of the deflating gorilla poe.
Okay. So like a stinking cloud or a harmful gas or vapor?
Yes.
Okay. I have advantage on those.
Ooh.
I like it.
Oh. That's so specific. I'm glad it came in handy.
Advantage against smelly things.
Yeah, I just bought a bunch of random items that I thought, oh, if you encountered various monsters around the world, here are the things you would have randomly found. So that is a 23.
Yes, it is. It is certainly stinky. It depends what your thing does. Maybe you don't even smell it. I'm not sure how your item works specifically, but... you certainly don't take any ill effects from it other than it being a stinking cloud.
Margaret looks at Flint and he goes, wasn't me.
So you have 1 more attack. You flew down. So you'd still have walk speed to get to, probably you could make it to one of the medium sized ones.
I think I'm going to stay where I am.
Okay.
In case any of them get closer to the camp.
Okay. We could say you would ready that action. So if one on its turn comes close to you, you can ready to hit that as it's coming towards you. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Then we are to the apes. The remaining large one, if you went to that one, the other one was on a farther side, rushes towards the encampment and begins to try and get some of the frantic people. And it attacks with its fists. One misses, but one of the townspeople, one of the soldiers, so to speak, quote unquote, takes a fist hard in the chest. And Lex, you're close enough that you would hear bone crunching as this person falls to the ground. The medium ones, one is going to, at least one is definitely going to rush towards you and Flint, Margaret, so you may take your attack as it approaches.
Natural 20.
All right, so you roll your damage dice twice and then add your modifiers once.
18.
All right, tell me what happens when you kill this smaller...
Damn,
thank
Betty
God Margaret's
White.
Here.
Yeah, really, right?
Just taking him down.
Fuck with Betty White. I think that she hears that sound from inside the camp of that larger one, and just the rage, the frustration of something having gotten past them. She just takes it out on the closest one, and so it's just straight in the face.
Perfect. It drops to the ground as... two more rush over to you. One attacking Margaret, one attacking Flint. So the attacks on Margaret, two fists. First one is going to be a 7. Next one is 21.
21 hits.
Okay. Then you are going to take 6 bludgeoning damage from one of the fists of this creature. Flint, 15 and 12. Neither of those hit, I don't think.
Both are bad.
All right. Both let out a stinking, noxious odor cloud. You don't smell it because you have special things. Flint, you're going to have to make a constitution saving throw again.
Okay. Thank God con is one of my good ones. That is a 19.
You're fine. 4 more rush to the encamp. 2 toward, or 1 towards Lex, the other 3 towards townsfolk. The ones rushing towards the townsfolk each get a punch off, but don't drop the townspeople. And then the one towards Lex, that is not good. 11 and a 9.
No.
Okay.
Carla's like, right, I'm Lex.
Yeah. Thea, you are up.
What?
I thought he needed me to add those together. And I was like, no, I don't do the math.
No, yeah. You just give me the end number. Okay, well... could we possibly say that while all this is happening, I've been slinking through tall grass toward the fight?
Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Because had he made me take a turn just like running through a field, I probably would have tipped a table or something. So he would have been like, and that's your turn. So I'm going to try to cold breath.
Okay.
I do not. That's my turn.
I have to make a dexterity saving throw, so...
Do I have to recharge it if I... that's only after
recharge.
I use it? Right, because that's what read means.
So you're...
Okay, I want to find a big one.
There's one big one in the camp.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so dexterity saving throw?
Yes, please.
Yep. 9.
12, so no good. So you take 4d8 cold damage.
Ooh. Yeah,
it's getting chilly up in her. That's a 1. That's a 2. Guys, we're getting there.
Okay.
That's another 2.
Oh, no.
And that's a 5, so 10 cold damage.
Did this just spit ice cubes at the...
Yeah, kind of, yeah. A blast of freezing wind in a 15-foot cone.
Takes
them.
It is chilly. Flex.
Sorry, does it take my damage?
Yeah.
You're just like, it's local.
Well.
Hey.
I am going to use a bonus action to cast Searing Smite.
Okay.
And then I am going to attack the one that tried to attack me with my great sword.
Okay.
So that is
how
a
great
29.
Is it?
It's pretty
That's
great.
That's pretty great.
That's a great roll.
That's not even critted?
No, it's plus 10. So that is going to be 10 stabbing damage, but then also it will get 3 fire damage.
Okay, as your blade, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Blade strikes in and ignites some of the fur. The ape lets out a bellow and drops to the ground, seemingly unconscious.
Great. Well, I'm going to move on. Unconscious. Okay, well, let's finish then. Well, do I care about
I mean, it drops to the ground.
I don't know. I'm going
to
move on to another one.
Because maybe they talk and we could interrogate it after.
Maybe.
I could tie it up and threaten to throw it in a river.
Throw it in a river. Kate, next attack is an 18 on whatever other one is closest to me. So that is going to be 6 plus, so 10, 11 damage on that one.
That one is also dead.
Great. Well, let's go for a third one then.
Okay.
That is a 23. Ooh. 11, that's 16 damage on that one.
Okay, so describe this kind of pass through that you do here. So you haven't made it to the big one, but you've taken out 3 of the more medium-sized ones.
Yeah, I think hearing the sound of that creature break the villager's like clavicle or whatever it did, like, really made me, like, all my protective instincts come out. So I am just like not raging in a D&D way, but in a normal way, and am just like cutting through, and I am trying to make my way to that big one because I want to take down the biggest, meanest creature there is. So I'll knock all these little guys out of the way on my way to that big one.
Okay. It's the people's turn. And the majority of them are... Well, a couple of them were engaged in combat, but you have amended that for them. And they are busy trying to stop some of the people from running back into the forest or are running with them. Christo is moving. He has finished helping somebody, sending them to a more safe vantage point, and he's going to charge towards the larger ape creature with Thea. And that's a natural 20. He swings with his sword.
I don't like that. Pass.
He's not going to hit you.
I mean,
he's gonna hit
Christo's our
Christo's
friend.
Christo's a good guy.
Oh, right.
So that's going to be...
Is he coming at me?
You think Russ just named one of the hippo apes?
I don't know that.
How embarrassing that they had the same name, too.
Right.
Make really awkward. They both look
names
when you call them.
That's going to be 18 slashing damage.
I guess he's not as useless as we thought he was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take it back, Christo.
Back to the top. Flint.
Who's nearby? Still some of these medium-sized boys?
Yeah, there's one on each you and Margaret.
All right, I'll take it... Choppy at the one that's on me.
Okay.
That is a 20, but not critical.
Yep.
10 damage on that one.
You cut into it deep. It's bleeding out, and it drops to the ground. It's still crying out in pain.
I will take a second action to just finish the job. Do you need me to roll?
You get advantage on it. It's prone.
All right.
It's up to
I
you.
Mean, is 17 enough? Do I need to roll again?
No, you're good.
In case it was a crit, thought I would.
You're a little cocky
yeah, so 17.
There, Tom.
Yeah.
I put my foot on its back and just like run my sword through it.
In a swift, clean cut, it stops any noise it's making.
And I turn and take a chop at the one that is attacking Margaret.
Okay.
23.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's full damage. 17.
Tell me how you kill it.
I mean, essentially same thing. I kind of trip it, put my weight on it, run it through. It worked so well on the last one.
It's clean. It's humane. It's
it works.
It's Bob Barker approves. Okay. Anything else? Movement or otherwise? There's none immediately around you, so if you were to move, you would not be invoking opportunity.
I'll move about 10 feet closer to the big one that's left.
Okay, Margaret, your turn.
I think seeing Lex and Christo with the big one, I'm going to rush over to it. How far away is it?
You can definitely make it this turn. Okay. So, yeah, within 30.
And I'm going to get next to Christo and swing my mace at it.
Okay.
23.
Yes, sir.
And I think it being in the middle of camp, I do 9 damage, but I'm actually going to spend 2 of my superiority points.
Okay.
Because as a monster hunter, if I spend 2, I don't have to roll them. They are just the top number, but I have to spend 2. So it's actually 29 points.
29 points of damage?
Yes.
Damn.
All right, okay. Margaret.
Well, that is a handy-ass thing to have.
Right. Okay. So describe to me this move as you come over and strike this thing down.
I think it's very similar to the last big one that we took down, that Margaret runs up behind it and slides underneath it and is able to hit that weak spot right underneath its belly before it gets real hard where it's been attacking us, and it collapses to the ground, and she brings the shield down again.
So we picture Betty White like ninja sliding underneath this large hippo ape creature, driving your mace up into it. And as you hit it, it hollers and looks down at you and beats its chest, releases a noxious gas. But then all of the other ones, and this one in unison, just like the large one that you saw, from behind them, lightning erupts and they are pulled into. You see the light leave this large creature's eyes as it's being sucked back up into this lightning. All of them have disappeared. You're out of combat now.
Well, that's a hell of a thing.
Can I go and cure, I want to cure that guy's busted bones.
Yeah, you walk over and he's still alive, but like gagging, blood, coming up. He's grasping his chest as you approach.
Okay, I am going to kind of kneel beside him, and I am going to cast Cure Wounds. That's my spell casting ability modifier.
So Christo, Margaret, and Thea are all within sight and range of this.
it is just not mass cure wounds. Sorry, friends. Just gonna cure this guy. 7 plus 5 is 12. So he gets healed for 14 points of damage. And as I do that, my other knee kind of comes down and I like have to kind of catch myself a little bit.
You see this energy pass from Lex into this man, and everybody within sight and earshot hear the bones crunch back together as they reform and assemble, and the blood stops coming out of his mouth, and the panic leaves his eyes as he looks up and says, Thank you.
I trot up beside Lex and offer myself as support so that he can lean on my big furry body to get up.
That's nice.
And then I just say, it's Thea, BT Dubs. Because I realize that we haven't talked since I left. And there's just a big wolf here.
I guess... Why is it so mysterious, Russ? Now they're all just gone again.
You guys, when I was out in the woods, I saw where that first big monkey thing came from, and it was inside a tent.
Oh.
So
it was in a tent?
It was in a tent before it burned that tent down.
Do you think one of the villagers turned it? Hey, Christo.
Yeah.
Is everyone accounted for? The creature appeared from within a tent, so is one of your people missing? Did one of your people
Let me go check. You see people kind of, as things are calming down, coming back from the tree line, and those that had weapons are kind of doing, I'll do a count and let you know. And he runs off to go do that.
It's either that or they're popping up through some sort of portal, through some sort of, I don't know.
Well, I mean, they disappeared via lightning. Maybe they arrive that way too?
Is it lightning, or are they being sent to different places? Because I feel like they were being called back. All
yeah,
at once,
when the
all
big
together.
Ones died and then they all left at once, it seems like a strategic retreat.
The big one, the real big one, it wasn't entirely this, but it seemed like it had elements of the Fae. I don't know if you've all dealt with them. I haven't had a whole lot of run-ins, but it was like a hodgepodge of different animals, and it was very distinctly angry nature is the best way I can describe it.
Thea nods her head. There's some fucked up creatures in the Fae. I wouldn't be surprised at all, but how did it get here? What is it doing here?
Did you notice, did the lightning strike before it appeared or after?
Did I notice if the lightning struck before or after?
You saw the lightning appear from within the tent, setting the tent ablaze, and then it kind of burned down around it.
The lightning seemed to have come first. Then as the tent burned away from the lightning, there was, you know, as I have to give props, a wonderfully fabulous entrance. But I don't know.
Maybe Flint's right. Maybe they're coming and leaving through the lightning somehow.
Christo comes back and he says, I mean, some people are injured, but it seems like everybody's here.
Whose tent is that? Or whose tent, rather, was there? There's no tent left to be that.
It was Leroy's and Veronica's and...
Jughead's?
Moose?
Archie's?
you know, None of us are very important, if that's what you're getting at. I mean, we're all important in our own special, unique flay. We're all unique snowflakes, as our parents have taught us. But
wait, did he say Fae? Get him.
unique way. Slip of the tongue. Right. Sorry.
I thought you were going to say in all of our unique flavors, and then stopped yourself. Like
in our unique flavors, we're very tasty, like little nuggets.
New problem. Cannibal.
Everybody, you're standing around. Make a perception check. Margaret and Lex at advantage.
18.
So 26.
Am I relying on hearing or smell by any chance?
You're still a wolf.
Yeah.
Hearing, yeah. So, okay. Yeah, you advantage too.
Well,
sorry,
I've had 18,
Flint. You're not very observant.
And this isn't as good, know, so but... 18 is good.
Okay.
Also 26.
26. All right. The 26 is in the group. So, Margaret and Lex, you feel like a cold stillness fall over the group.
Look up and kind of scan eyes around the camp.
As you look around, the trees that were moving naturally with the wind appear to be still at this moment. The clouds above you begin to swirl.
Anybody seen anything like this before? And I'm looking at Tia in particular.
I look up at the sky in the direction that she's looking. Has Thea seen anything like this before? It looks like a storm. Is it a storm? Are we in the eye of a storm? Is this a hurricane? I've read about those.
One of those elusive forest hurricanes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It might be an ape-nado, I'm afraid.
An ape-nado! I love everything about that sentence.
If Ian Ziering shows up, I'm going to lose my mind. Russ, did you get Ian Ziering to guest star on the podcast?
Tara Reid walks out of the...
There he is. No. No, as you look up, aside from looking like a storm or perhaps a funnel cloud forming, you haven't specifically seen or felt anything quite like this.
I would say it's just the weather, except it's too coincidental.
And as you say that, Lex and Margaret make a dexterity saving throw with advantage. Everybody else just a regular dexterity saving throw.
18.
Mm.
19.
16.
6. 18, 19, 100.
Is that your
25.
Wolf stats?
So everybody,
yeah.
Everybody who rolled below a 19. So only one
I was
of you.
So far.
Wait, what did Christo do?
Well. Christo, you're in the same boat as me.
Lightning strikes right in the middle of your and fans out this crackling energy. And it's quickly followed by the beast you saw at first as it falls from the sky and lands like a meteor, crushing out the ground below it, throwing the majority of you off to the side. Lex, you just in the like nick of time leap up as this thing hits the ground and manage to just miss the first wave as the ground rolls out. Everybody except Lex is going to take 16 bludgeoning damage plus 14 lightning damage, so a total of 30 damage, and you are knocked prone as this huge fanged horned gorilla beast stares you down. Roll for initiative. Now we're here.
In the middle.
Now we're here. It's the middle.
Is it the middle?
Welcome to the middle. Welcome to the gooey center.
Mm.
This is where all the goods are.
It's like the middle of a cinnamon roll.
Mm. That very center part where it's all like gooey and sugary and cinnamony. Where
you get your fingers really sticky, but you definitely wait and savor that part at the end.
Yep.
Yay or nay on raisins involved in cinnamon buns?
Nay.
Sometimes. I'm good with them.
I would say not a hard no, but my preference would be no.
Okay.
Yeah. When I pick up a cinnamon bun, I'm like, there's probably not raisins in this because I don't put them in there. So probably not.
You know, when I pick up a cinnamon bun, I think to myself, this is delicious and wonderful. You know what else is wonderful? Our patrons.
Our patrons are
wonderful.
Our patrons
are the best. Over at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast is where you can find out about all of our patronage and
That's what they call it.
Our patrons helped us reach a goal.
Oh, and what a goal.
And how.
And for the reward at that goal. Okay, so we watched Moonraker, James Bond.
Russ's favorite James Bond movie.
We
so good.
Tweaked it in our minds to make it more like Austin Powers. And then we played a game based around all of those facts swirling around in our brain, and that's what we put down. So we played an Austin Powers-themed episode, and that's coming out as this is released on Friday, which is February 7th, and we can't wait.
And if that combination sounds insane to you,
it is.
Just wait till you hear the episode.
It is insane. It's nuts. Feel free to watch Moonraker first, then you'll be like, what? And then you'll listen, and you'll be like...
No.
What?
The way I like to picture it is you go, you listen to the episode. It's available for patrons, $5 and up, patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. You go, you listen to the episode, and then you're like, what the fuck? Why were they thinking that this would be a good thing? And then you go back and you watch Moonraker, and you're like,
and then it all makes sense.
Because the source material was so elevated that, yeah, of course.
We nailed it.
I'm on a horse.
Every story piece in that movie. But you can go find that over at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, the episode Friday. But you can become a patron today. Absolutely you can. Thank you for considering it. Next week, we've got a special bonus episode. Our patrons, at a specific tier on Patreon, you can join us to play a game around the table. Not an Austin Powers game, although maybe, if that's what you really want.
Oh, no, please no.
But we have a game time tier, and you can check out the details. Next week, we're going to release one of those sessions that we recorded with one of our patrons to show you how much fun we have with you, and hopefully you can have fun with us.
Sorry, I'm just hung up on the if they ask for an Austin Powers theme. You are right. Opening yourself up to a world of possibilities, my friend. Look,
we're going to be honest with you. It's a higher up tier, but because of that, suggestions are welcome, and I will plan them. Maybe if somebody else is DM, they won't plan them, but I love you more than they do.
Whoa.
Dropping
there it
that
is.
There it is.
All right.
Yeah. So that's what we're going to leave you on. Hopefully you have a wonderful day.
Just to summarize.
You know what?
Austin Powers. Sorry, not sorry. Russ loves you more. Come play games with us.
That's a very good summary.
You're just amazing.
That was it.
So good.
I think instead of the montage of edits that you do at every start of the episode, we should just have Amy do a succinct recap.
Yeah, I like it.
Anyways, back to the episode. Thanks, everybody. Patreon.com/DumbDragonCast. Please go check it out. So, Margaret, you're up first. So you're prone. So to stand up takes half of your movement. You were knocked just 5 feet out. So not far from the beast, but you are currently prone, staring down this large beast face to face.
Yeah, I'm going to get up and reach into my pack and drink a potion.
Okay. Healing potion,
I presume. It's whiskey, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. A little liquid courage. So I'll heal 16.
Okay.
What is the scene in front of us now? You know, this thing has hit ground zero. Has it blown everybody back, essentially?
Yeah, so everybody except Lex. Lex seems to have jumped up and is still standing, weapon drawn, I presume. Everybody else in the immediate vicinity, the larger group was off to the side and have panicked and fled for the most part. I mean, pretty much everybody. Christo is seemingly unconscious. The beast is standing before you. The ground around you is torn up, very much like when you found Flint, Thea, and Lex originally. Kind of that earthquake feel to it. And is considered difficult terrain. So half movement is halved.
Okay. And so this is D&D question.
Yep.
So I used part of my movement to get up. Obviously, I assume I used part of my movement to get in my bag as well.
No, that would have been a free action.
Okay.
So yeah, you would have used, you've got a movement of 30.
Yeah.
So you move 15 or used 15 to stand up. So you still have 15 difficult terrain. Like you're within, still within range.
Okay. So I'm going to activate my boots again and fly up next to Lex. So as I get next to Lex, I'm going to raise my shield and swing at this thing and see how sturdy it is compared to the other two styles we've seen.
Okay.
Sturdier than that, I assume. 17.
17 hits, but just barely.
7.
So you strike in with your mace again, I assume?
Yeah.
And it hits, but the beast doesn't seem to move or flinch based on this attack. It barely even draws any blood. Like, it's a scrape. You hit kind of its arm from where you're standing, so you don't really see much damage below its fur.
Yeah, seeing that this hasn't had much effect, I'm going to try again.
Okay.
No, I'm not. That would be a 9.
You know what? Thought about it, don't want to do it.
That will not
change my mind.
I'm just scuffing up this mace. Let me rethink this.
Okay. It kind of just glares down at you and grunts as Flint, you move into position.
All right. How far away am I?
You were knocked 5 feet back from the epicenter, so, I mean, you're within, you're 5 feet out from where it is.
Okay. I will also stand up. That seems like a good course of action.
Okay.
And I'll move towards where Margaret and Lex are.
You can make it within range. You're not going to be able to cluster with them, but you'll be within a few feet from them.
What if I dashed over to them?
Yeah, we'll say you can make it, yeah.
Okay, if it's now engaged with Margaret, and I'm guessing Lex via proximity, I'm going to come at it from a slightly different angle, so like wherever I would have been, you know, 10 feet away from them, I'll go at it from that angle just to spread out the love a little bit, and I will swing my moist tongue longsword at it.
Okay.
That is a 24.
That will hit.
Okay. That is 8 cold damage and then 5 extra, so 13 in total.
Got it.
Same sort of thing as before. Does it look like it got hurt? Does it look like it paid attention at all to my blow?
Kind of, like, winces, I guess, a little bit, but not like it took a huge hit.
Okay. What else do I have that's, like, maybe more fun to do than just hacking away at it? Probably not much. I'm just a fighter. yeah, I guess I'll go for it again.
Like, oh, we have a group of...
It's a lot of
just
fighters.
Slashers. Yeah.
16. I don't think that's going to hit.
No, sir.
And we'll do third attack. 24 again.
Yeah.
9 damage on that one.
Okay, at the end of your turn, it moves without provoking opportunity attack. It leaps up into the air and back 40 feet. So away from... What would make sense?
I yell, run, bitch!
Moves towards the group of people. So it's about 10 feet from the group of people and lands on the ground. It is its turn. It turns and looks back at your group and then charges towards the crowd of now running and fleeing people. They've kind of spread out, so it's not going to get all of them, but they must make... I've got to make fist attack.
I yell, run in a serpentine pattern!
That's a...
Zigzag!
That's a 30.
You got to zig when they think you're going to zag.
So
luckily we've learned it's vindictive.
Right? Fuck you guys, I'm going after the innocent people.
It charges into two of them, and you just hear bones crushing as it barrels through two people.
To one of those people that Lex just finished healing up.
Not specifically that one.
Was the trip really necessary?
It is now 60 feet away from you.
Oh, damn it.
And it is his turn.
Dash doubles my speed?
Yes.
And it's 60 feet away?
It is, yeah, 40, 20, 60 feet away. Yeah.
Great, I'm going to dash.
Okay.
Because I want to kill it, because I hate it. I also am going to use a superiority die to do a fainting attack, which, if this attack succeeds, will be handy.
Okay.
Is a 29.
Okay, the attack succeeds. So
probably succeeds.
Yeah.
Let me remember, I can expend a superiority die to add the total to my damage roll.
Okay.
And then I also will have advantage on my next attack.
Okay.
So that is... No, God. I wish I got to roll a d20 as my superiority die. That would have been fucking amazing. So it's 13 damage on that first attack.
Okay. And you have advantage on the next
one. On the next attack, which I'll take it. It was a 19, but okay. No, I'll take the 19, so that'll be a 29.
Okay.
6, that's 10 damage. And then I will attack one more time.
Oh my god, how many actions do you have? Can I borrow some?
18. 18 hits, right? You said 17 hits.
Yes.
5, 9 damage.
Okay.
Does it react to any of that? Is anything happening?
Yeah, so you run up behind it because it was charging towards these people, and you're striking into it. You manage to, it does not have fur on its hind quarters. You manage to draw blood, and it raises a foot and launches this clawed foot back at you, kicking at you.
And cow kicks you.
That's going to be a 29.
Yeah, I'll do it.
That's 14 bludgeoning damage.
Okie dokie.
At least it doesn't bend over and like fart in your face or something.
Yeah, it's, at least it's just fighting. It's not being rude.
Okay.
I can Hess turn now?
It is your turn now.
Okay.
It is 60 feet away from you.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter how far away it is. I use a bonus action to turn back into my elven self.
Okay.
And I cast Moonbeam on this motherfucker.
But it's a cloudy night.
Doesn't matter. A silvery beam of pale light shines down in a 5-foot radius, a 40-foot high cylinder centered on a point within range. Range is 120 feet.
Okay.
And when a creature enters a spell area for the first time on a turn or starts its turn there, it is engulfed in ghostly flames that causes searing pain and must make a constitution saving throw. Otherwise, it takes 8d10 radiant damage.
Constitution saving throw. 15.
Fail. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Get him. Get him.
A shapeshifter, hold on, I don't know if this is important or not, but maybe it is.
Read it.
A shapeshifter makes its saving throw with disadvantage.
Still stands.
If it fails, it also instantly reverts to its original form and can't assume a different form until it leaves the spell's light.
It is the same shape as when you did before you hit it.
It's worth a shot.
Yeah. Right? I mean, yeah.
And on each of my turns after this, I can just move this beam so that it is back on you.
How far can you move it?
60 feet in any direction, but the monkey doesn't know that, so it won't move 61 feet in any direction.
It can't.
I'm just saying, it just won't.
Like the giant space lizard.
My daughter.
Just so we're clear, the monkey will not be doing that. So many details.
Oh, I like
hear
the sound
that,
of
listeners? I get to roll damage. All zeros, all zeros, all zeros. Okay, wasn't
all
zeros.
Why were you hoping for all zeros?
Because the zeros
because
are
tens. Yeah, right.
I was...
Boy, I know how to play the game.
This is how to play. Okay, so there's 10.
Guys, is Russ a bad DM?
I don't know.
Does Russ know how to play D&D? 15, I always assumed it was us.
That's why 19, he never rolls D10s, because he thinks he's getting zero all the time.
This is the worst time
ever.
This is awful.
31, 38 radiant damage. Suck it.
Okay.
Did I murder it?
No. Tell me what it looks like as it hits.
Just seemingly out of nowhere, parting the clouds. I don't think it actually goes up that high. It's only 40 foot high. But just a blinding light, blue and icy, comes shooting down from the sky directly over top of this fucked up monkey.
It hollers loud and it echoes and bounces off the trees and back around you. It begins to charge towards you, moving 20 feet, kind of just barreling past Lex and towards you.
And I trip it on its way.
I put my foot out.
No.
Okay, we're back.
Opportunity
to...
attack? Oh, you said it doesn't.
Zero.
I stick a stick in its spokes.
Yeah.
It's on a it's a little bicycle, right?
Did Russ not mention it's on a tiny bicycle?
I thought it was.
It's really fun.
Back to Margaret.
Can I get to Tia before the gorilla?
You can get to Tia. Yeah. So it charged forward about 20 feet. So it's another 40 feet away. So it's your turn. So you could make it to Tia. Yep.
Okay. I want to fly over to Tia and I'm going to touch her and touch her on the shoulder. And now she has protection from evil and good. And so any fey creature attacking has disadvantage when attacking her.
Interesting.
Like having seen this thing, her do
Merci.
Something in it. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Okay, so
Margaret's got so many tricks we've never seen.
Right. She sure does.
Does that count as an action, a bonus action? Does it say?
That is a spell that I get. It is under spells.
Spells, protection from good and evil, one action. So yeah, you still have two other actions to do something. Can't cast another spell, but if you have some sort of range attack or
so other? I think that after I land next to her and I touch her and cast a spell on her, I'm gonna kind of put my hands on my knees for a second and breathe heavy, and I'm gonna use my second wind to get some hit points back.
Okay.
So that'll be 24. And then I'm just going to ready an action to hit it if it gets over here.
Perfect. Okay. It is a flint.
Yeah.
Illip was just here for a second.
He's a flint.
I'm going to make my way over towards Thea and Margaret as well, being as that seems to be where that giant ape monster is going to. But along the way, I'm going to throw my dwarven thrower at it several times.
Cool, 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 cool.
It is cool.
It is.
It's a 23.
Yeah.
Okay. And that'll be 14 damage on the first one.
Okay.
That is a 31, so I think that's going to hit.
You've gone too
Wowzers.
High.
I mean, it's a plus 13 bonus, Russ.
Jesus Christ.
Extreme.
Who gave you that item? Fuck.
no comment.
Some idiot DM.
A benevolent game master, that's who. That's 11 damage on the next one.
Sure, yeah.
Oop, rolled it off the table. Hang on
that's
here.
A nat 20 if that happens.
Right? And that is a 19.
19 will hit.
I rolled a 6 that time, guys.
At least you can miss.
And that is 15 damage.
Doofa. Doofa.
What exclamation was that?
Oofa, doofa.
Doofa. It's classic.
Okay, so everybody's crowding around Thea. You let fly your hammer. It zings back again and again, and you're hitting this beast as it's running towards you. You hear muscles tearing, bones crunching as it's screaming towards you. It gets within 20 feet and it jumps up into the air. It rolls into a ball and it comes crashing down directly about 10 feet in front of you. Each of you, except for Lex because you're farther back, can make a strength or dexterity saving throw. Your choice.
I mean, I'm going to pick the one with the plus 5 bonus, Russ.
I get it.
Seems like a good strategy.
That is a 24.
Okay.
23.
Okay.
13.
Okay. The 24 and the 23 succeed. The 13 does not.
But I have protection? What does that do for me?
Target has advantage. Oh, you have advantage on any saving throws.
Oh, gosh. See, I'm glad I asked. Yep. Ooh, 17? But that's an 18. Sorry, 15 plus 3 is 18.
18 still does not help.
Oh, fuck.
I know, so close, so close.
So glad we looked up all that information about this spell.
You never know, it might have worked.
It was very close. The earth heaves up in front of you, and a burst of lightning comes out, shocking through. Those that don't save take full damage. Those that do save take half damage.
So looking forward to this full damage I'm going to take.
18 bludgeoning damage for full damage, so 9 for half, and another 16 lightning damage. And Thea, you are knocked prone, so that's 8 and 9, so 17 for those who take half, and you are not knocked prone.
I'm going to use my reaction to use Shield Master Evasion, which just lets me, on a dexterity saving throw, if it's half damage, take none, because I get the shield up in front.
Okay, yep, then you take none. Awesome. It stands up and reaches to the sky, and lightning begins to call down to its hands. It is Lex's turn.
Dope.
So you are... It jumped 20... Ran within 10, so you're 50 feet from it.
Come on. How
Math.
Can I? Yeah.
He went to his mind palace to get those numbers. Didn't
yeah,
you see?
Yeah, totally. Can you dash more than once?
You can, but it uses an action each time, doesn't it?
Is that how dashing
only,
works?
No, you can yeah. only dash once.
Oh, you can only dash once? Lame.
I'm sure okay. I've done it before. I don't fucking dash.
I don't know.
Yeah, but I think as long as you're taking
there.
Up
oh,
an
can,
action
yeah.
to do it.
You're,
yeah.
Are you asking just in general or like just yeah. on your turn?
Just in general.
You can't hold on. You can't dash again until you move zero. So you dashed on your last turn. So if you move zero this turn, you can dash on your next turn, or you can move up to your full speed right now and not dash again until you move zero. Because they assume you got to where you wanted to get, and you can just kind of stand.
They didn't account for the jumping monkeys.
The jumping
monkeys.
They didn't
know about the wind sprints I was trying to do in the middle of this battle. okay, then I guess I will throw a hand axe at it, but bear with me because I think I can do another thing.
Also, aim for the butt.
Right.
I mean, that was that was a different character choice, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I'm going to use another superiority die for distracting strike, though I'll get to add the superiority die to my damage, and then the next attack roll I'll have. The next attack roll against the target by an attacker other than me will have advantage. So the next person that attacks it will have advantage.
Right. Okay.
So I am going to throw a hand axe at it. That is a 20. Not the good count.
Yep.
7. That is 13 damage. I have another hand axe, so I'm going to throw that one too. That is 20 again. And that is 15 damage.
So both of these axes fly through the air and stick into the posterior side of this beast.
Great. Well, I have one more attack, so why not throw the dagger too? Let's just see how many I can, how many weapons
bullseye.
I can have
aim
hanging
for a
out,
bullseye,
of this, out of this ding dong. 22
yep.
And 12 damage.
Okay.
And so, the next person who doesn't attack has advantage.
Okay. It, as it's getting stuck with and it's reaching up to the sky, it begins to move away from everybody. It's running towards the trees, full speed, so it moves 40 feet towards, and we already said it's 30 feet from the, so it makes it to the trees.
Do my weapons fall out of it as it runs away?
Yeah, we'll say the muscles loosen them and they
great.
Fall on the way.
Be sad if I lost all those nice weapons I got in that small but weaponful town.
Thea, you're up. It is running, so it...
How far is it from where the beam
so
was before?
That was
That's
where
my
Lex
important
was.
Question.
So it was 50, and then it ran another 40
to the tree. It was 50 for me
because
it was closer
tree.
To you guys.
So it is Pythagorean theorem... A squared plus B squared equals it's too far away.
I fucking hate you. I can't do anything fun. Okay.
Equals 61 feet.
Yep.
Exactly.
Math.
I mean, it had been established it was not allowed to run more than 60 feet away.
I mean, I can't help, you know, hurting it and wanting to flee now.
Okay, well, I'm going to let it go. Not the monkey, but my beam.
Back to the Frozen songs, eh?
You have no idea. So how, you said it's 30
he
feet
didn't
from
really
me?
Say.
It was 50 from
actually,
Lex, and then it moved.
I did the math, and it's 64 feet away.
From the beam.
Yeah, from the beam.
Which sucks.
You're the worst, Russ.
Yeah, because you could have just said it reached, yeah, but whatever. It's not like you're married to me or anything, and there will be consequences.
That's good.
Okay, how far is it from me?
50 feet.
Okay.
It's kind of funny. Come on.
I run toward it 20 feet.
Okay, it's in the trees by 10 feet. So obscured vision. I'm not sure what you're trying
Fine.
To
do. Fine, I run into the woods so I can see it. Yes?
Sure, you dash.
No, because then
no,
I won't be able
feet.
To do any spells if I dash.
Yeah. So you get to the edge of the trees. Yep.
Good, okay. So even if I can just see part of its hairy ass running
sure.
away from me.
You see its bleeding anus.
Oh, no.
Wow.
I'm saying it doesn't want to just have us kill it to put it out of its misery.
Right? No, a dagger right up the old bum hole. Okay, anyway. On this fleeing behind that I see, I cast Blight upon it at fourth level.
Okay.
So a necromantic energy washes over this monkey-ass motherfucker, draining moisture and vitality from it.
Moisture.
I'm sure it's all coming from the bum. Target must make a constitution saving throw.
13.
Yep, that won't do it. So it's going to take 11d8 damage.
Damn!
I don't have that many d8s. Give me a moment.
Do you need us to roll some d8s for
yeah,
you?
Yeah, we can also roll for you.
This is a group roll.
Team roll.
I need it to be my own fair.
I mean, it's kind of a, it's like a team building exercise if we all roll all the d8s.
I have three available.
I also have three available.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to say no only because I never get to deal damage ever.
That's fair.
So.
Well, yeah, Russ always moves things 4 feet further from you than he needs.
4 fucking feet. I didn't even do it on purpose. It just worked out that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Subconsciously, you were doing the math
I
that
knew
quickly.
It.
It's yeah. probably actually what was
yeah,
happening.
Yeah, it's probably true.
Your robot programming always, always doing math that quickly.
Just outside. Error.
Okay.
Roll them.
I'm doing it. Okay, 7, 8, 9, 10, 18, 24, 27, 31, 34, and then I have to roll two more. So it's 34 plus 10 is 44, necromantic.
Necrotic?
Necrotic, that's the word I was looking for. Thank you. No, I think necromantic like was probably yeah. it. Yeah, yeah, nailed it.
It's right there.
Describe to me what your spell looks like. I mean, it's a shit ton of damage. But describe to me, you run over to the trees. What do people see?
They see me run to the trees, and then they see like a dark kind of cloud that comes from my hands. But it has like a slick, oily look to it, and it wraps itself around this stupid monkey as it's running away and slowly starts to like squeeze and pulse.
Yeah, I like the idea of like this stuff coming out of your hands and like moving through the trees. It does damage the foliage as it goes and
oh,
then
yeah. I feel bad about that.
Grabs hold of this creature as it's swinging through the trees and it's begins to slow as the life force is being drained from it, and you see it reach for a branch and then begin to fall back to the ground. But right before it hits, you see that same lightning bolt. Like the instant before it thuds to the ground, it shoots up and out of the trees, and everybody else sees it shoot above the tree line, and this large explosion goes up into the air, and where there should be an echoing thud, there is nothing.
I think Thea drops to her knees. It takes a lot of energy to suck the life out of someone, but my hair is shinier. So there's that.
You are... out of combat. From what you saw, if it had hit the ground, you could presume that it would have been dead, but was sucked back by something or someone.
It doesn't feel like a win if I didn't for sure kill it.
So. I get it.
No.
I think like the night sky lighting up and just us standing out there and looking up at the like the cloud that it goes back into just... Oh, you gotta fucking be kidding me.
There's some like wimpy ass bitch somewhere throwing monkeys down and then just taking them back. I scream out to the universe, come and fight us yourself.
Somewhere else, we see almost a crystal ball within the liquid surface focusing in on Thea, and we see a hand tapping on the arm of a chair.
it pans up and to the back of this person. And we see in this room the dead body of this creature. And long white hair.
The Lodius fucking burns me! Good damn it!
As he laughs and says, I'll be coming for you soon. The intro song, Nowhere Land, is by Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.filmmusic.io. All other music and sound effects can be found at epidemicsound.com. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Christian Brown, Devin Michaels, Gabriel Lynch, Jacob Madden, Joshua Dixon, and Kat Waterflame. To find out more how you can support Dungeons & Dragons, visit patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. We'll talk soon. Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Hi, folks. Let me see if I can sum up Midnight Burger in about 25 seconds.
Really big monster!
Zero irony.
Pardon me, Gloria. Might my husband and I have a word?
The radio is talking to me.
So this is how it ends. Eaten by wolves in space.
There's a pocket dimension in the deep freeze.
This is the stupidest dystopia we've ever been to.
What the hell is that?
Because you're having a cigarette in 415 million BC.
Where are we?
Space.
Can you narrow that down?
The bad part?
Ava.
Yeah, that didn't work at all.
At the nexus of all things, there is a diner. Look for Midnight Burger on your favorite podcasting app, or just go to weopenat6.com.